Hi, this is Scott Hanselman, and I'm wandering around Building 42 at Microsoft, and I'm asking random people in random offices, what are you working on?
Wait, who are you walking around with, though?
No, when I'm alone, the camera's just
floating. No, but for serious, man.
Oh, Rory Blythe is
thank
holding
you.
The camera.
Thank
He's
you.
He's walking around with me at Building 42.
Thank you.
All right, thank you.
Okay.
Okay. Hi, how are you?
Hi, I'm doing pretty well. How are you? I'm Polita Paulus.
Polita
Paulus? Polita, yeah.
Polita. Polita Paulus. Mm-hmm. Fantastic name.
What kind, are, is thank that Greek? You. What is it?
It's not Greek. It's, well, the first name is Mexican, and the last name is German.
I was so wrong
that
in every possible way.
That is such an appropriate HR question to ask on Channel 9.
Well, I actually do it all the time. I'm really curious, just because we got people from all over the world.
I get Greek, actually. A lot of people guess Greek.
Huh. Okay, well,
fantastic.
I don't feel that bad then. So what do you do? What's your title?
I'm a dev on the ASP.NET team.
We have... That's your dev. Like, you program.
I do.
We found one.
Okay, so the deal is this. There is a 10-to-1 ratio of program managers to devs at Microsoft. It's a little-known fact. You could potentially own a feature as a PM, and you have only 1/10 of a developer's time. We didn't know that the devs existed. We haven't found any.
We found no, we
PMs
did. We found one.
Left and right. Now, if I own the feature for the group program manager of the unit, you actually code for a living.
I actually code for a living.
You don't own any features or manage any programs or products?
Well, I do own features. But devs own features.
Oh,
this is fantastic. This is fantastic.
What feature do you own?
Well, I own...
Do you own a namespace?
I don't. I own parts of a namespace.
Okay.
I don't know.
Let her talk, man!
I have some favorite namespaces. I'm excited. I want
I do too.
Autographs.
But we need to find out, like, what... All well, right, that'd be kind of weird. Hard. Okay.
Go ahead.
Our namespace is system.web. UI.webcontrols. That's great.
Wow, that is huge. That's actually huge. That's huge.
I wish I could say I came up with it, but I didn't.
That is a great
interface. What do you do? What do you code in? I mean,
I code in C#, and I own the data features for ASP.NET. So I wrote the grid view and the details view and the form view.
You wrote the grid view?
Yeah. Are you?
You
familiar with
wrote.
That's so awesome.
That actually is. That's. I can't believe it. We just walked in here.
We're totally
have
walking
you used
around.
It? Or are you just
no,
saying
no,
that?
Yes.
Okay, good. Yeah.
I taught people how to use it. I went through a whole thing where I was just teaching people how to use it.
Awesome.
It
well, thank
really
you.
Cool.
I'm an ASP.NET hardcore all day long.
Yeah, great. Yeah, and then another dev and I kind of designed the data interface with Object Data Source and SQL Data Source.
Object Data Source?
Yeah.
That was you?
That is cool. I
well,
love Object Data Source.
It's like a greatest
yeah.
hits show.
It is kind of.
Fantastic.
Well,
I love it. And the B-side, XML Data Source?
That's right.
Well, the Object Data Source, it allowed for that abstraction that was, you know, kind of, you know, that was a bit difficult to do.
So
before,
how much
so.
Influence as a dev do you have on the design? I mean, are you sitting down and designing out the experience and the UML and how this thing's going to create? Or does someone do that and you just... turn the crank?
No. We design almost the whole thing. we have a very strong program manager that we work with, and it's literally like two or three of us will sit down and talk everything out, mm-hmm. talk about property names, and argue stuff over, and arm wrestle about what's the best thing. Whoever wins, and then
who
we
conceives
off, we
something
go
like that? Who says, man,
we want.
You know, the thing that we're missing, object data source. Who does that? And then tells you, and then you go, oh yes, and then you get excited about it. When does that happen? In the process?
Largely nobody tells us what's missing. We know our customers really well and we say we need object data source. We need this thing that can just bind to, you know, people's code. And so we prioritize it and we build it and it's really fun. We're working on stuff for Orcus.
You have Petten cubes too. Petten cubes.
She's got freaking six of them.
Petten cubes. Wow. I'm never going to get one of these because I'm just an idiot who holds a camera.
Initial dynamic rendering control data.
Wow.
Yeah. That was a feature that that made it into a CTP, but not quite a final release.
They're so the names are so you must not have come up with those so pretentious. I mean, they'll give some really complicated name: method and system for bidirectionally data binding and control of a template.
Well, they have to be. They have to be specific.
They couldn't just put object data source on the cube because that would be too.
But that's not the object data source. That's the bind statement.
The bind. Do you have a patent for the bind for bind parent, you know, open parent, close parent?
Yes.
Without getting too, you know, awesome. Potentially, you know, stuck in the legal stuff. Do you know, I mean, I don't do patents myself, or I'm not one of the smart people here. So when you do those, is it more to protect us rather than to, you know, use it like to lord over other people? I always feel like we do patents to protect ourselves.
I think it's a little bit of both. We do it to protect ourselves and to kind of claim ownership over something that we feel is unique. But I think it's also to make sure that is ours in the future, that we don't we don't have a lot of features that we're giving away for free.
Yeah, because I think users sometimes have the idea that we're just like trying to patent everything so that we can, you know, be like a big bulldozer, but I don't think we're doing that. I mean, we do it to protect our IP, really, is what
yeah,
it comes down
to. Yeah, I
mean,
to. I've been here 8 years, and I've got mm-hmm. six of these. It's not that
yeah.
common. We don't
so we,
patent
well, we
everything.
Saw Vance's office. Have you seen his office?
No, I haven't.
Vance Morrison?
He
yeah.
sits on a cube of cubes.
That doesn't sound comfortable.
He's got like, I don't know, it's like 14 of them?
He had quite a few. They were stacked in a pyramid. I mean, yeah, it's cool. Every time
wow.
I see someone with cubes, I get excited because it's cubes, you know?
Yeah.
Mean he did something good, you know?
I'm starting to think of something to say. I'm starstruck. With
ASP.NET, it is actually pretty cool. We got
no,
very, very lucky.
I worked on a book with a guy named Bill Evian and Devin Rader for Rocks called ASP.NET.
Cool.
It's professional ASP.NET. It's pretty cool.
Oh,
pretty,
we appreciate it.
Yeah,
thank you.
Never heard of the book. No idea.
I might have it, or I might have given it away, but it used to be up there.
Might have given it away. Doesn't need it.
She
wrote it. She
wrote it,
she
Scott.
Wrote
she
it.
Doesn't need it.
No, I know. But see, if I knew her before, it would have been a better book. Now, does it bother you that we reflect into your code to get into your mind, or would you rather that we just gave that you? Would you rather that you could give away the source?
Oh, that's interesting.
Because we reflect. We feel the source is available anyway. It's a reflector.
Yeah. Well, absolutely, we don't
mind
that
you
reflect.
Reflector. You must
and
be.
The guy that wrote Reflector, you know,
loves.
Down the hall, right?
Yeah, we're looking for him.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He's usually around.
Yeah.
I think it's great that people look in the code and figure out how to do stuff on their own. It's almost like an enabler to make you more independent. You don't have
mm-hmm.
to send mail to somebody at Microsoft and... if you don't get your answer off the forums, you can find it yourself.
So you did the XML data source also?
I didn't do the XML data source. He's across the hall.
We'll go find that guy.
Yeah.
So I want to know why it doesn't support namespaces within XPath.
Oh,
you can't use the
question.
XML data source with any document that has a namespace.
I don't know the answer.
Yeah. No prefixes, nothing.
Yeah.
It's a call
That's
out
a good
in
question.
The book that says, here's
oh,
what
you know what? He's sick today.
Oh, now he's sick.
Namespace prefixes.
He's totally gonna appreciate me.
No. But the whole how did you coordinate? Like, you've got one person going to be the XML data source. You obviously want to have a overarching group of data sources, and they
yeah,
all want to behave
yeah,
the same way.
Right here. Data.
Wow, it's a cube.
Reference. Oh, so the actual there's a patent for the creation of that,
mm-hmm.
the management of that.
Yeah.
Wow,
that's fantastic.
Cool. Yeah. So Alon, the guy who wrote most of those, and I spent lots and lots of time. Yeah.
See, this is turning into a love fest.
They're
now.
Heavy.
We need to get back into the content.
What's that made out of? Is that,
well, I think
probably
it's granite.
Granite. Yeah.
Yeah.
My countertops are made.
Yeah, mine too.
I think I'm gonna have to wipe the. Sorry. Wow, that's fantastic. And who is your guest?
My guest is Matt. He's my manager too.
Hi.
Hello, Matt.
So, Matt, you have responsibility over which portions of stuff now? Because you're like number one with the bullet. You just keep rising.
I have responsibility over ASP.NET.
Yeah, full stop. So, system.web.
Ooh, wow.
Yeah, and system.configuration.
Ooh, you're branching out. So I have a question for you, and this is just getting a little off of your topic, although I really respect the data sources.
That's okay.
What do you think about alternative ways to write ASP.NET sites like Monorail and the Castle project?
I don't know enough about Monorail and the Castle project.
So, and this is not like a troll, and I'm not trying to kind of like come at you from the side, but you know that there are people out there doing crazy, wacky stuff with HTTP handlers and HTTP modules and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
When someone builds something on top of it, like Monorail is a Rails-like framework, an MVC framework, based on an HTTP handler, and it's an alternate lifestyle that runs within ASP, you know, the .NET worker process. When you hear about something like that a person's built a whole other parallel universe, there's an evil Spock, there's an evil Matt with a goatee doing this kind of work, do you go, hey, that's awesome, fantastic, or do you kind of think, well, I wish they really understood pages and what we were thinking. Is there kind of, you know, a sense of...
No, it's not to have they done something evil. It's what is it that they're driving at?
So they're, for example, they might say that we really wanted a really true MVC-style Model 3 framework, and that the code behinds just didn't give us the kind of separation that we wanted. They felt that the markup and the code behind are so married, partially because of the way ASP.NET 1.1 had that kind of uncomfortable derivation situation. That became very nice with the partial classes stuff, but they felt that the idea that you can't reuse a code behind with other markup without some serious dancing. Mm-hmm. You know, you can always do stuff, but without some dancing. When they do stuff like that, do you want to kind of bring them back into the fold and explain to them, like, this is what we were thinking, or do you think that's great if they want to build that on top of it and they're using the stack?
I take it beyond that. I look at it and go, okay, we have the page framework and controls architecture is somewhat heavyweight. And if
the control tree and the whole pre-render process is non-trivial.
And if they say, what I really wanted is model view architecture, mm-hmm. and I want it this way, I say, I'm not looking to convert them back to some other architecture. I look at it and go, are there ways that we should be building something closer to that?
So how do you do that? So here you've got people like the Rails guys in the Ruby world that have just a very different view on things. And I know that there's the the generator that someone just did? It was a
Blink.
Yeah, is that you?
That was me.
Oh! That was you.
That was me.
See,
Scott, you want to tell the audience real quick, or why don't you tell the audience?
About
you
me.
Did it.
That's an example. Like, so here's an example of someone.
Sorry, Matt.
Doing the alternative lifestyle thing within the team itself. Is this your way of kind of sending a message? Like, here's a totally different way of thinking about it.
Yeah, you know. We really welcome the creativity, and what we see in the industry of people coming out with new things are their way of telling us what they want to see in ASP.NET, mm-hmm. and that's how we get to figure out what people want. And we knew there was an area where people wanted to show their data, and they didn't want to spend a ton of time kind of exposing their data and wiring up lots of data sources. They wanted something that could get them started really quickly, and also, we wanted a chance to show off this new technology called Link that we were building. Mm-hmm. So that's what Blink did. It was a command line generator, really simple, no UI or anything, that just says, here's, you know, you show me your database and I can show you pages that'll let you insert, update, delete, sort, filter, all those things that should just work.
It's like Rake, just do it.
Yeah, just like Rake, yeah. And when you're done, you should have a website that works really well.
And that's up at ASP.NET. www.asp.net.
It is. Yeah.
B-L-I-N-Q. Blank.
B-L-I-N-Q. Yeah.
The hits keep coming.
Can I say something at this point? I just thought your question was really interesting because, I mean, it is on our stack, so that's good. You know, that's a good thing. So they're building on our stack. But I used to work kind of in the Java world. You know, that's what I did before coming to the Microsoft side of things. And, you know, the Java kind of method was to build your own framework. You know, you often just kind of went ahead and built your own framework, and you didn't use the supplied tools. And the Microsoft world is typically people use the supplied tools. You know, they don't typically build their own framework. So this is actually kind of a fairly new thing in Microsoft land.
I think it's nice because, like C Sharp and VB and Boo and Iron Python and the stuff that John Lamb and the Ruby CLR guys are doing. I mean, this is all just saying that, you know, Babel is kind of okay. Mm-hmm. Diversity is all right. There are languages that are clearly more expressive than others. But in the ASP.NET world, early on, it was just such a monolithic thing, and that people can be encouraged to do Blink or Monorail or whatever else. That we support that. That tells me that there could potentially be a future for Blink beyond just being a curiosity or a CTP or a sample that just kind of sits there. It could be an alternative way of thinking about how to do stuff in ASP.NET.
Yeah, we hope so.
Yeah.
And that the evolution of Blink is that the team that does our designer is looking at building perhaps a wizard in the future where maybe you could choose your tables and it'll do something like Blink.
Cool.
The .NET CF has some tools like that, sort of, where you can generate an entire .NET CF app from a database. Well,
really?
Sort of. I mean, a lot of the plumbing is done for you. It's actually pretty cool, and I mean.
Well, that gets into the whole topic of where can you find your contract, right? Like we talked about this worry offline. The idea of we call it contract exploitation. Right? If your contract it's in CLR metadata, and you want to generate and fan out from there, or is it your database, or is it an XML file? You know, have model driven development, right? Here's kind of what I'm trying to say, and then I can generate the database, and generate the pages, and generate. I mean, what can't you generate?
Right.
If you have to write anything that could have been done by the computer.
Sure. And you can imagine, you know, generating WinForms apps or generating Avalon apps or generating, you know, lots of different things. There's no reason that UI layer can't be switched out for other UI layers.
And I think that's probably a teaser, and we'll leave it there. Well, thank you both for talking to us on Channel.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
For accommodating us and our just sort of barging in sort of a mode here. But
oh, it was fun.
I'm totally stoked.
I am too. Well, good. Thanks, Kat. Wave, bye. Okay, bye. We found a dev. Bye, Matt.